morning from Luke chapter 15, but I want just to refresh your memory that the first 10 verses of chapter 15 include two other parables. Parable of the lost sheep, the one who left the 99 to go find the lost sheep, searches high and low, joyfully brings the sheep home. The parable of the lost coin, one coin is lost, and the woman does everything to find this lost coin, rejoices, throws a party when the coin is found, goes out to find the coin, bring the coin back. And now we're in the midst of the parable of the, traditionally the parable of the prodigal son, and reading verses 25 through 32 as we discuss the true elder brother this morning. The younger son has just come back. They've begun to celebrate. And meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," the servant replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has brought him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and was found." This is the word of the Lord. We've been walking through a series thus far entitled The Prodigal God, an in-depth look at Luke chapter 15. And we've said all along that the story is missed if we just simply reduce it to one son. This story is actually about two sons. One who is immoral and bad and goes off and lives for himself. One's very moral and very good and lives at home and yet, as we've learned, lives for himself. Both are alienated from the Father. Both are lost in their own unique ways because they are focused on the Father's thing. But there is a deeper understanding than just missing the older son, which we talked about last week. And you'll find that when you look at the New Testament, particularly when you look at the words of Jesus Christ, you will begin to see that Jesus is not one who simply gives pointers to moral lessons. Which is to say, Jesus is not simply a sage who dispenses wisdom that points to kind of a universal idea of what is good or what is bad. Jesus, in his teaching, is very specific that the way of God, the truth of God, the life that we find in God is found when we look to Him. That is to say that quite a bit of Jesus' teaching is getting people not to look at some principle that they can apply to their lives, not some simple key to a happy or successful life, not to simply unlock some long-forgotten wisdom. It's to point people to Himself. And that's what we're going to see today. That in this parable, He is actually telling the people who are listening to this parable, in particular the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that they need to look to Him. And that they will see in Him the missing grace that is in this parable. So as we look at this today, we want to learn three things. We want to learn first, what is the real cost of reconciliation? There is a cost. Secondly, we're going to see that there really is in this parable a missing older brother. That what should have taken place in that society in the midst of a family breakdown like this is actually missing from the story. And lastly, we're going to see that we have, thankfully, a true elder brother to look to. First, what's the cost to bring the other young brother home? Quite often at first glance in this parable, it seems like there's just no cost, right? The father runs out, brings the boy home, throws a party. There's no cost to anyone. Obviously no punishment that we've seen. It's just free. It's just completely given. And so many who look at this parable argue, you know, this is just what God is like. God just accepts and forgives anyone who asks. And there's really no need to talk about God kind of needing to pay a price. What's the point of the Christian doctrine of forgiveness then in relation to the cross? Isn't that some kind of an old atonement theory? Isn't this some kind of crazy idea that a price needs to be paid? There's no punishment. God just decides to forgive. No. It's a great mistake in theology to suggest that there's no cost at all for the damage we've done. This is not true for anything in life, and it's certainly not true for this story. Maybe free to the younger brother, it always is. Grace to the recipient is always free. Forgiveness to the recipient is always with unattached strings, but it is not that way for the one who gives it. The older brother is furious with the father for receiving this young son home. This lavish deal of putting the robe on him, the family robe. This is not just simply getting a coat out of the closet. This is the family robe, a sign of belonging, usually very expensive as well. Puts the ring on him, brings the fatted calf, all these things. And the brother can't handle this because he's watching this celebration goes down, and you know what he's counting in his head? The cost of the reconciliation. If you remember, from a couple weeks ago, I said that the younger brother, because there's two brothers in the story, would get a third of the estate. He was given a third, he went off, he spent it all. Then the other two-thirds was reserved for the older brother. And it would be like, you know, if some of you have your name attached to a particular item in the family inheritance, you kind of put a post-it note under a piece of furniture, or you got your dibs on a piece of land, and this is being taken out of the room. You're counting what you're losing. This is what's happening to the older brother. There's nothing left in his mind to give that younger brother because he spent it all. And the father is now taking the two-thirds that is left and beginning to dispense this in celebration to the younger son. Father's literally taking the calf that is actually the property of the older son. He's taking the gold ring that will be someday the property of the older son and giving it to the younger son. This isn't fair, is it? When the father in this parable says, "Son, everything I have is yours," it's a literal statement. There's nothing left to give to the other son. It's all his now, and yet he's giving it. The salvation of the younger son isn't free at all. It's already been very expensive so far, foolishly so, and now it's becoming even more expensive with the celebration of a community-wide feast. Extremely expensive. The father cannot forgive the younger brother except at the expense of the older son. He's the one who has to bear the cost. There's simply nothing free in terms of reconciliation. If you yourself have something valuable to you and someone else breaks it, the cost can either be borne by the person who broke it, or it will be borne by you. The third option is to throw it away, in which there is no restoration. There is no restoring it to what it once was. There is no reconciliation. When it comes to faith as well, the same thing. There's either a cost for what we've done, and either it is that we will pay it, yeah, right, or we don't have the capacity to pay for it, or else God will either pay for it or throw it away. There is a cost. That's why we want to say in this parable, believe it or not, there's a missing elder brother here. The elder brother knows that forgiveness and reconciliation isn't free. He knows this and refuses. And so we listen to the story and we see this older brother being kind of like the Pharisees and the onlookers, and we're saddened. But that's not where Jesus wants our hearts to be. If you remember those three parables, he told the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and now the lost brother. And in the first two parables, the first time, the one who lost the sheep went away from the house, went to look for the sheep, to bring the sheep home and have a rejoicing. In the second parable, the woman looking for the coin just left everything aside. All that she was doing, searched high and low for this coin, found it, and then began to celebrate. In the third parable, we would expect Jesus to be consistent here. Who is going to go out and find the lost son and bring the son home? If you were a member of first century Middle Eastern society, the answer would be very clear. That's the elder brother's job. That was the reason that the oldest son would get the lion's share of the estate. You think, two-thirds. Why does he get two-thirds and the rest of the children get to divide it up based on what's left? It's because on the eldest son's shoulders lied the responsibility to keep the family unity in place, to restore the family unity and to keep its place in the community as well. That was just their duty because they were given responsibility with more. And therefore, the older son should have gone out and said something like this: Father, my younger brother has been a fool. And though his life is now in ruins, I will go look for him and bring him back home. And I will bring him back home to the family at my expense. That's what should have happened in first century society. In fact, we can imagine the father telling the son to go do that. This isn't how the story goes, though, in the way Jesus tells it. Jesus doesn't put a brother like that into the story. Instead, in the story, this younger brother and the father have to deal with the resistant older brother, the self-righteous older brother. But we don't. The reason the elder brother story is there is to help us long for what is the true elder brother. The one who, if we go astray, won't hold it against us and disown us, but one who will bring us back at any and all cost to himself. And that is what we have in the glorious truth of the gospel. In this parable, Jesus is getting the listeners to begin to think about who it's really pointing to. If the older brother should have gone out to find the younger son isn't there, who's going to fill the gap? And it is Christ. Have you thought about that before? That the elder brother that's missing in the story is actually the elder brother that exists for you. Because we need someone who won't just go into a far country to find us, but one who will bridge that eternal gap between heaven and earth to find us. We need one who wouldn't just open his wallet for us when we were short on cash, but who's willing to pour out his own life for us. We don't need someone who's just going to pay some of our debts off, but would pay an infinite debt to restore the family, to bring us back home, and we do. See, when the father says to the elder brother, everything I have is yours, it's also literally true of Jesus. Jesus had all of God's glory. Everything was equal to him. He was at one with the Father, but as Philippians says, he emptied himself for us. And how do we get the Father's robe? Because Jesus was stripped at the cross. How are we invited to the Father's feast? Because Jesus drank the cup of wrath so that we might have the cup of joy. He is our true elder brother. The one who Hebrews 2:11 says, the one who makes all people holy, and those who are made holy of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Jesus came to earth and truly obeyed the Father, never disobeying his orders. He truly had the right to all of what the Father owns, but instead he searched for us. He found us. He found us in a pigsty, but carried us home on his own shoulders at his own expense. The missing person in the parable is Christ, who did all of this for us, paid our debt to bring us home. Can we even begin to fathom such grace? Do you believe that he did it? Do you believe that he needed to do it? He is our true older brother. Lord, whether we are the younger brother still lost and living for ourselves, or whether we are the older brother doing all the right things but for all the wrong reasons, may we see in Christ our true older brother, the one who bore the cost that was unimaginable to bring us home. Lord, move in the hearts of those here whose faith is weak or who have yet to believe that you are who you say you are, that you are the one, the Savior, God made flesh, who shows us his grace. And may they, in the strengthening of this faith, celebrate and be at awe at the cost that was paid for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.